This is a matchup where the Raptors should roll. They have way more talent than this Nets team. And yeah, okay, is Caris LeVert going to be scary at moments? For sure. Is Jared Allen going to maybe get into it with Kyle Lowry? Yeah. Should be five games. And so our primary focus is going to be on Pascal Siakam and whether or not the scoring can be a little bit more efficient and that he's going to look for it a bit more than what we saw in those eight games in the bubble. Is there anything that's more important to you in this series outside of just getting the win than seeing Siakam's offense?
No, I think that that's the big thing, right? And I think you hit it on the head. It's not only, you know, does he get his 20 a game? It's how is he going about those points? You know, Denver's really good at sealing opponents off from the rim, despite, you know, Jared Allen, even in the bubble with more minutes, is averaging a block and a half a game. They don't have kind of the traditional rim protection, but what they do is they collapse the paint in kind of a conservative way where, you know, there aren't going to be a lot of hands in at Siakam's drives, but if he gets to the paint, he's going to see a couple bodies there. So, you know, those are situations where this year we've sometimes seen him shy away and he becomes a bit more of a jump shooter, which is fine with some of the progressions he's made as a pull-up shooter, especially on those pull-up threes above the break. But you want to see that level of aggression there. And I think, you know, in a playoff series, you always want to make sure you're getting to the line a fair amount. And that's one area where Siakam, you know, especially in the bubble, he just wasn't getting to the free throw line much. So I think Brooklyn is a nice opportunity for him to get going. I think they're probably going to throw Keurigs on him to start because he's 6'9" and he's one of their better lengthier defenders. But at times with Brooklyn's personnel, he's probably going to have a smaller guy matched onto him where he can take it into the post a little bit. I don't think they'll put Jared Allen on him in the way that kind of, you know, Boston had Al Horford on him or Miami could put Bam on him. I think he's going to have a forward or a wing on him. So he'll have some post-up opportunities. Can he score? Is he scoring aggressively? And then, you know, in those post-up scenarios, or if Brooklyn changes their pick-and-roll scheme a little bit, you know, can he make the right read? Is he making guys around him better? And I thought, you know, if you think back to that Boston game, kind of the one bad game Toronto had in the reseed, the biggest thing that stood out between him and Tatum wasn't necessarily how they each responded to trying to score against heavier defensive attention. It was that Tatum seemed a little bit ahead in terms of using that attention to create for others. And that's, you know, Siakam, I think, only averaged 2.5 assists in the bubble. And yeah, his minutes were down, but that's kind of, along with the scoring and the aggression, that's what the Raptors need to see a little bit more from him. Because as you look at round two beyond, you know, those teams are going to be getting the balls out of Siakam's hands. So scoring along with the playmaking against that extra attention.
Talking to Blake Murphy. So yeah, I don't think anybody is picking the Nets over the Raptors in this series, obviously, but I don't think anybody's thinking the Nets have no chance in any of these games. And, you know, tonight might be, or this afternoon might be the best chance they get because it's game one of the Raptors in a postseason, and that's what happens. But yeah, man, I know you've written extensively on the Raptors defense, how good it's been, but they've been good allowing a lot of threes, and specifically corner threes, and the Nets aren't exactly shy about taking those. They were fifth in the NBA in three-point field goal attempts during the regular season. If you were going to say, ooh, the series got dicey going 5, 6, or 7, is it because of the three-point shot?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, if you're looking at how this series shakes out, I think you have to allow a little bit of room for, you know, Caris LeVert is probably going to have a couple 30 pieces in this series. And you know, Caris LeVert alone getting 30, even 35, isn't going to be enough for the Nets to win a lot of these games. But if that comes along with, you know, the guys around him hitting 40, 50% of their three-point shots, they get so many threes up that, you know, that's a high-variance way to play. And the Raptors get a lot of threes up, too, so it's entirely possible that breaks their way. But I think, you know, if you look at the Nets personnel especially, and you look at what the Raptors have done against a James Harden or a LeBron James, well, the Raptors are going to go into this series and they're going to be worried about Caris LeVert as a lead ball handler, and they're going to be worried about Joe Harris on these off-ball actions where he can get up 6, 7, 8 threes in a game and get himself open for a lot of those. And I think those will be focuses number one and two for the Raptors defense, and that's going to mean helping a lot off of a Garrett Temple in the corner, a Keurigs in the corner, Justin Anderson, former Raptors 905er, who will take those shots but isn't an established three-point shooter. Even TLC, who's you know, been a revelation for them kind of in the bubble and hit a really good clip on his threes. You know, I think the Raptors will probably bet on the larger sample that says he's a, you know, a middle of the pack, if that, three-point shooter. So Those guys are going to have to be ready and step into them for the Nets, and I don't think, you know, if the Nets come out today and shoot 25 of 50, I don't think the Raptors are going to change their defensive approach much. I think they're going to bet on the numbers over the course of the series, and their focus is going to stay on LeVert and Harris first.
I can't wait to freak out over a Raptors loss today. It's going to put me right back into the Raptors playoff mind frame. But yeah, man, I don't expect, I mean, it wouldn't be a shocking result if this was more than four games, but if you get into the 6 and 7 game territory, what does that tell you about this Raptors team? Or does it, is just by any means necessary, get through this Nets team that's missing so many players?
Yeah, it's, you know, I do have a little trouble seeing the series go long. I picked Raptors in 5. You could get me to Raptors in 6 if LeVert is just unbelievable, but I also think, you know, like Siakam, this is LeVert's first full kind of playoff series as the guy, and the Raptors are going to throw a lot of stuff at him, and I'm very high on LeVert. I love the funk to his game, and you know, as Kyle Lowry called it, herky jerky, but that helps him get to his spots. He's a lot of fun, but he's also going to have OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam and Lowry and Van Vliet on him, so you know, I don't think that we can just assume that LeVert's going to be dominant enough to take multiple games for Brooklyn. So I'd be surprised if it goes longer than 5. If it does, I think what you're worried about is, you know, when you look at how those games went, is the Raptors' half-court offense really getting choked up? Because, you know, Brooklyn's going to throw a lot of zone at them. Brooklyn doesn't have a lot of great individual defenders, but they're pretty smart and they're pretty tough, and they will, like I said, conservatively pack the paint to take the rim away, and they'll zone you up. And the Raptors struggled with the zone this year. So if this thing goes longer than 5, it's probably that half-court offense when the Raptors can't get out running off of mistakes. That's probably, you know, and that's related to our Siakam conversation, but that's the one weakness heading into the playoffs is you have to go back a pretty long time to find like a title contender that had an average half-court offense like the Raptors do. So that would probably be what extends the series, but I don't expect to see it.
Yeah, I think that it's mostly Raptors fan anxiety that is leading people to believe that this is going to be a close series, because we've been down this road before, whether it was, oh, well, you know, the Raptors, the Pacers, they have Paul George, but that's all they've got, so Raps should smash them. Oh, this Bucks team is just a little too far away, Raptors should smash them. Like, this has happened before, so people have their reservations about a team that doesn't have Kawhi Leonard, and man, even the team that did have Kawhi Leonard, I think people were a little skeptical of how deep they could go. So yeah, that's just part of this fan base's DNA, and I don't think that changes because of one championship. So yeah, Siakam is, he's the obvious guy to look at and say, hey, what are you going to get from this person, because we've spent the entire year looking for what we're getting from Pascal Siakam. After him, what's the thing that you're most curious about in this series that you think a lot of us are overlooking?
Well, I don't know who's overlooking it, but I think the next thing kind of on my checklist is, you know, Nick Nurse, even after Matt Thomas and Chris Boucher had kind of those breakthrough games toward the end of the bubble, is still referring to his rotation as 7, maybe 8 guys. And what I'm curious to see is, you know, they're 10-point favorites today. There's something like the implied probability of the series odds is like 96, 97%. They've got some room for error here. And, you know, you guys know me, I'm not going to advocate for playing bench lineups that don't make a lot of sense on paper. But I am curious if Nurse tries to work in 9, maybe even a 10th guy, just to kind of get, you know, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Matt Thomas, Chris Boucher, Terrence Davis, to get those guys some playoff reps, see how a playoff opponent responds to those guys, and see if they can maybe find some of those transitional units to buy Lowry rest, to buy Siakam rest, that might work well together. Because right now I don't think they have, you know, they're very, very confident in their starting 5. They're very, very confident in any combination of their top 7 with Powell and Ibaka in the mix there. But there's not a lot of clarity on who's up next if they need to go deeper. And I don't think you want to play 2 months of basketball with a 7-man rotation. They did it for most of last year. But that takes a lot out of the top guys. And if someone gets hurt, it means you're calling on guys who haven't been in the mix for a while. So I'm curious to see if Nurse goes deeper in the rotation, if any of those guys in the kind of 8 to 11 range can show, you know, can Matt Thomas show, hey, I can hold up enough on defense to keep my shooting on the floor? Can Terrence Davis keep the mistakes low enough to kind of earn more leash? All of those guys, I think, maybe will get an opportunity in this series and have a lot on the line.
Yeah, I read your most recent mailbag, and you had at least a similar thought as I did, which is, I think Matt Thomas is definitely going to be playing that Jody Meeks role, where Nurse tries to get away with him at the end of some quarters and tries to free him up for a couple of shots, and that the difference being that Matt Thomas isn't completely washed up and can still knock down an open three if he gets the opportunity, and you still feel good about that. I think that Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is essentially playing the McCaw role, where you're going to bring him in for certain spots to try and play defense. The interesting guy is just, to me, still Terrence Davis. Like, what exactly is the role that he carves out? But I don't know if you can have a role when you're not sure whether or not the coaching staff trusts you. Like, do you think that that's what's going to unlock more Terrence Davis, is signs that the coaching staff can trust him?
Yeah, for sure. And I think Davis is a guy who, because his offense lines up so well with what these Raptors bench units need, they'll live with some mistakes on offense. He's one of the only options that they have outside of Siakam and Powell to put pressure on the rim and kind of collapse the defense inward like that in ways that open up things for shooters. And some of those bench lineups can get starved for spacing. And I know, you know, I think we all love that Davis, Hollis, Jefferson, Boucher trio where they just got every offensive rebound because they couldn't hit a jump shot, but they would tip every offensive rebound in. I don't know that you're getting away with that in a playoff series, but Davis does put a lot of pressure on the rim. He's a really good transition player. So I think they'll live with the mistakes on that end. But what they won't live with is, you know, him getting back cut or him missing a switch or you know, some of the more complex things that Nick Nurse is probably going to roll out defensively. You know, can Davis be solid within those? And I think that's been kind of the sticking point all year when McCaw would come back and he'd jump Davis in the rotation. Davis is a more dynamic and a higher event player and, in my mind, a better player. But McCaw has a little bit more of that defensive floor. Now, McCaw's not here, obviously, so that's not going to be a factor. But I think it's still the same kind of things that Davis needs to show is, you know, can you be solid and minimize the mistakes on defense to keep your offense on the floor? And that's the case with a lot of rookies, but I think it's especially the case here where they'd love to have Davis's aggression and shooting in some of those lineups where Lowry sits or where Siakam sits.